Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Here we go. The best time of the week. Grab a cold one out of the fridge. Rip it open and wash away your troubles.
Rugby league, that's why we love it.
The footy's on the radio. And how good is it? Strap yourself in, because you've never heard the footy like this. Yeah. Welcome. Triple M Rocks the Footy.
Triple M Rocks the Footy.
Yeah, we sure do. Right across the Triple M network with Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, James Hooper and Maroon. Two games this afternoon. At 2 o'clock, we're going to stop the show. We've got two games coming up. We've got Warriors Dogs, Roosters Raiders. It's an absolute rugby league festival. You can hear it on the station you're listening to. And, of course, you can always listen to what's been said via our Triple M catch-up podcast. But to do all that footy-related stuff, you just need to get the Triple M app. So do it now at triplem.com.au. You'll be ready for finals football. Maybe if you're having a bet today, you might do it with our mates at UBet. Head to ubet.com or download the UBet app today and gamble responsibly. We always speak to this guy, Jared Daffy. Welcome to Sunday Triple M NRL. Daff, we don't normally get to speak to you this early.
No, it is an early start today, isn't it? But a couple of very, very important matches on today.
Well, mate, this is a danger game written all over it for the Warriors. You know, they can just let you down when you think they're, you know, everything's back on track for them. What do the punters think?
Yeah, I'm convinced the Warriors look at bookies boards, particularly when they play in Australia, when they're favourites. They've got a pretty ordinary record. Having said that, they're $1.50, so price-wise, they're clear favourites, but there's been some sort of money for the Bulldogs at $2.65. We've got a handicap line there of -5.5 points. The money there is for the minus, but it's a bet for bet situation here, but the bigger bets are with the Warriors.
Mate, well, there must be some better odds with the first try scorer, mate. Who is that?
We've got Fusatua, the favourite there at $8, yep, from the Morris boys. Brett at 9, Josh Morris at 10, Momalo at $10. The other one they want there is Roger Tuivasa-Sheck at $11, but Fusatua is a pretty easy selection for favourite punters on these first try scorer markets when the Warriors play. Got a very good record.
He's a gun winger, Daff. Hey, what about the premiership market? Have there been any changes after some of the results in round 23? Or?
Well, yeah, there's been a fair few changes, Hoops. There's one standout for me, and this is on the back of the loss last night by Penrith. I've been saying for 2 or 3 weeks now, nobody wants to be on them. You can see why. They're 11 out of 17, but no bets at all today for Melbourne Storm. I guess we're all waiting to see what happens with Cameron Smith. They're the second favourites at $4. So by default, the Roosters have shortened up, even though they haven't played yet. They're into $3. South at $4.75. Cronulla back into the market at $9. And the Dragons shorten up a little bit as well. They're into $17. But I suspect that until we find out what happens at Melbourne Storm, the only sides that punters will want to be on this week will be Sydney Roosters and probably to a lesser degree South.
Okay, good on you, Daff. Thanks for that, mate. We'll catch up with you later in the week.
See you, guys.
UBet is your home of NRL betting in 2018. Download the UBet app today, but always gamble responsibly. It's going to be a funny game, this one, Hoops, if you think about it, because the Warriors, well, they're in the eight. You know, they're a chance at taking it up a notch or two into the four. But the Doggies, very proud club, are going to want to leave that wooden spoon for somebody else. So I reckon we're going to in for a good game this afternoon.
Yeah, the Dogs, look, I know they got beaten last week, but they have salvaged something out of the wreckage that otherwise has been a pretty average season for them over the course of the last month. They've caused a few upsets. They beat the Broncos in really convincing fashion. Young Lachlan Lewis has been one of the new shining lights that Coach Dean Pay's managed to unearth over the back end of the season. So, look, I don't think they're without hope against the New Zealand Warriors here today, Maroon.
Okay, what about a tip, mate? Who's your tip for this one?
Yeah, I'll go for an upset. I reckon the Dogs. I reckon the Dogs might be able to just get the points over the Warriors.
Paul Kent.
Oh no, I like the Warriors. I think that's right. They're a side. Every time they're favourites, they seem to lose. If they're outsiders, they seem to get home. But they've got a bit to play for, the Warriors. They've got to start getting themselves right semi-final wise. I know they're sitting in eighth spot at the moment. They'll make it on for and against, even if things turn bad for them. They're 4 points clear of the Tigers in ninth. But they've just got to start getting their footy together. And I do, look, the Warriors are a team that's in transition. They're a side that's gone from being flaky in recent years and recent times to a side that this year has got a little bit of steel in it. There's still some work to be done there. But these are the sort of games that the Warriors need to win. And it's going to be a good test, because I'll tell you one thing about the Bulldogs. The Bulldogs make you earn the victory against them. They don't roll over for you. That they haven't won a lot of games this year. They've won, what was it, six games, I think it is. But they make you earn the victory over them. So they're a good test for the Warriors coming into this late part of the season.
What about you, Gordy?
Oh, mate, I think the Warriors. Okay. The Dogs, mate, as what Paul just alluded to, the Dogs have been pretty tough all year, but they've been getting beaten on ability. They got to need some luck, and I reckon this is a game that the Warriors will really want to turn the screws and start to be a little bit more consistent and start winning in Sydney.
Yeah, and the Warriors just have more talent. Yeah, at the end of the day, they've got the ability to score points. The Bulldogs, if it's a low-scoring game, the Bulldogs are right in it. If there's more than 35 points in the game, then that, you know, the Warriors are scoring.
All right, and we'll have score updates on that one for you. Thanks to Tyre Power. Get the power of expert advice. Lower prices on all the big brand tyres at Tyre Power. Well, the Newcastle Knights had a wonderful win yesterday over the more fancied Penrith Panthers. 20 points to 12 was the win for the Knights. A gutsy win. And we've got their coach joining us on the line right now from the Newcastle Knights. Triple M NRL welcomes in our old mate Nathan Brown. Brownie, hello, mate.
Maroon, how are you, pal?
Fantastic. Hey, listen, you look at that ladder, and you're already on, I know you're a tough judge, and you've got to be. You're an NRL coach, but 9 wins. If you get another one out of the next 2, that's 10 wins. You've uncovered one of the greatest young talents in the game. I mean, even you've got to be happy with that, Brownie.
Yeah, I think, well, one thing we've definitely improved a lot on last year, which is obviously one thing we needed to achieve, and obviously getting Piercy along was obviously a real coup for us, and I think if Piercy had not missed sort of nearly half the year and Connor's missed a fair bit, we had about a little bit of luck there. We probably could have picked up a few more wins, but we're certainly in a spot now where we can all be excited about the future of the club, where obviously for a couple of years there she was pretty lean.
Brownie, definitely plenty of reasons for excitement leading into the future, and one of the big parts is young Kalyn Ponga. You made the big call to move him into 5'8 yesterday. He's excelled in that position. Have you created a headache for yourself longer term, or what are you thinking?
Look, the thing is, you know, he sort of moved in because he hasn't trained for about 7 weeks now, so because of his ankle, and first his hamstring, then he hurt his ankle his first session back, and obviously for the fullbacks cover so many kilometres, and he was obviously deconditioning a bit now, and he's obviously nowhere near where he'll get to as his peak fitness will get, because he's only a young sort of kid. So he moved in for that reason. But yeah, at the end of the day, he's like another 5'8 on the field anyway. What's his best position? I suppose we could all debate about it, but the reality is it's Kalyn's career, and it's not for me to tell him to move him at this stage of his career. If he comes and says to me, I'd like to play 5'8, I'm more than happy to accommodate that. But it's sort of one of those things where we signed him to, you know, we sort of convinced him to come to the club because we had a fullback position, and it's probably not really up to me to move him, if that makes sense. It's sort of more a decision he needs to sort of want to do.
So fullback's his preferred position though, isn't it, Brownie?
I think at this stage Hoopsie would say that, but you know, when he come back after the Origin, when he played sort of, I suppose, lock or whatever he played in the Origin, he actually sat down and asked me and said, do you think I'll change position? I said, well, again, that's sort of more your call. And he certainly, I think he enjoyed playing there yesterday with Piercy. There, you know, at the end of the day, his attacking skills, he doesn't really have to change the way we use him as an attacking player. He probably has more energy to attack because he runs a lot less distance, you know. So, look, I've never, you know, we don't sit down and discuss his positional stuff every day of the week, but he's more than happy to play there in the short term while his body's not 100%. And where that leads to, mate, I suppose, as I said, you probably need to interview him instead of me.
Brownie, when you sat down at the beginning of the season and marked out your goals, and I know you guys break it down into small portions, but overall, what was the pass mark for 2018 season?
Look, at the start, Kenny, obviously we were looking, I was sort of just looking from a point of view to obviously improve on the year before. Starters was a big point. That was the first sort of thing, was getting some good improvement, and then working out what we needed to bring in to make us a really good squad for the following year. And that was where I was at the start of the year. And then obviously when we started playing, you know, Kalyn was probably a bit better than what everyone thought, and obviously Piercy had probably even a bigger influence than what we thought. And then you know, coming into the Tigers game, I was starting to think, you know, we've got to be some sort of chance of making the eight, you know. And then when Piercy got hurt, obviously, that sort of put a bit of a din in us, you know. So, yeah, so it's sort of the injuries that probably, you know, probably would change my thought process. But at the start of the year, I wasn't sort of sitting here thinking, oh, we've got the squad to make the eight, because, you know, I wasn't quite aware of, we knew Kalen was good and we obviously knew Piercy was good, but, you know, the impact they had on the squad was probably a fair bit more than what I suppose any of us imagined. So, yeah, but whether we give it a tick or a cross, I'm not too sure, mate, but we've certainly got some players where next year we're going to come in with players that, like Piercy and KP, that have had a year together, which is my first time since I've been here, where we're going to have the same halfback and same sort of fullback 5-8 combination. So we haven't had that yet. So what we have got is we've got a squad that we need to add to, but we've got players who I believe, you know, in Piercy and Kalen in particular, who can take the club to wherever everyone wants to go, and that's sort of that top four.
Hey, Brownie, talking about a tick, you must be pretty happy with your defence yesterday, to a point where I think it frustrated the Panthers a little bit, where there was a bit of push and shove and maybe a couple of punches thrown.
Yeah, it was back in your day there, Gordy, yesterday, some of that stuff that was going on. But, yeah, look, we've had some moments this year where our defence, you know, we've won some games where we kept Manly to 10, Parra to 4, and, you know, we've kept some, you know, we just got beat by the Roosters in a tight one. So we've had some real moments where, you know, things are really starting to show we're making some really, really good sort of movements forward with our defence. We're starting to get a smaller part of the foundation, but we just haven't done it well enough for long enough, and we've had little periods where I suppose we've had, you know, one or two tries go against us in quick succession, and, you know, where your Roosters and Storms and that, if they leak one, they certainly don't leak another one quick. They make the side really, really earn it. So we're still developing there, but yesterday was probably our best defensive effort from a point of view that the Penrith players are so big and powerful, and they're all, like, that squad's a really powerful, they're big, powerful men, and they all understand how to play footy really well. So I thought the fact we could contain them so well yesterday was, you know, it was probably as good as we've done as a defensive team since I've been at the club.
Brownie, what about, we're heading into the business end of the season. You just touched on the fact the Panthers have got that big, strong, powerful roster, but if you had to pick one team that you think is going to take out the title for this season, who is it?
Oh, look, I was sort of talking about this yesterday on the Fox there, Hoops with Lara. Like, if you say Brisbane Broncos, let's say Broncos run eight. Now, I look at the Broncos, people want to keep saying why they're not good enough because they don't have a spine, but I'm pretty confident McCulloch played for Queensland for three Origins, Milford's played Origin this year, and in my opinion, Darius Boyd's one of the most influential players in the past 10 years. So you put those blokes with all the outside backs they've got, and Pengai Jr. and Lodge and these powerful forwards, like, and they're going to run eight. So I reckon team one or two that plays team seven or eight going to have a game on their hands to beat them. So I just think, I'm not sure who will win. At the moment, obviously, the past sort of 3 or 4 weeks, the Roosters have appeared a little bit better. Before that, it's sort of been up and down, you know. So I'm not convinced there's any one team that's going to win it at the moment. I think the luck with injuries and just a couple of good performances over a period of 2 or 3 weeks will sort of determine that winner, where last year, you know, we played Melbourne in Melbourne last year in about round 7 or 8, and they had, you know, the team they had that day, and I remember their bench got up to warm up and they had Big Nelson and McLean coming off the bench. They walked up and down the sideline as their bench players because Jesse Bromwich was starting with Timmy Grosvey, and, you know, and I looked at that side, obviously, and Coop, and I just thought they just win the grand final by 40 if they're fit, and that's the way it sort of turned out. It was pretty easy to pick. This year's far different for me. I just think it's quite open, and, you know, there's teams there that if they just have a bit of luck with injury and put their best couple of performances together over a 2 or 3 week period, it wouldn't surprise me to see one of the lower based teams, you know, get to the grand final.
Brownie, what about the coaching merry-go-round, mate?
Oh, he's a bit of a circus, that one, isn't it, at the moment?
Yeah.
I'm not too sure what's going on. I wouldn't have a clue what's going on, because I'm not in any of those organisations, and I only sort of worry about my own spot where I'm at, to be honest with you. It's a very strange thing that's gone on in the past sort of month, that's for sure.
Yeah, but would it be distracting for the players, you think?
There's no way in the world you can't tell me it helps an organisation. For me personally, I can't see how, you know, if you look at the Roosters and Melbournes and those sides that are there that are nice and stable, I can't see how these instabilities help. I'm not saying that they're causing sides problems, but I don't see these distractions being a positive for anyone. But in saying that, I'm not at the clubs and that, so I don't know why the decisions are being made, and maybe they need to be made, or, you know, in Trent's case, I don't know what's been promised there and all that sort of stuff. So unless you're involved, you don't really know. But, you know, there's certainly these off-field distractions. I wouldn't say they make your performance better anyway, that's for sure.
Well, Brownie, we have to let you go, mate, because we're about to speak to one of Australia's premier film producers, your old mate Jason Stevens. Have you got any advice for Jason?
He's up here this week, Steve. He came up here. Tell you what, guard your wallet because he likes his money, Steve. So maybe he can
good on you, Brownie. All the best for the last couple of games, mate.
Thanks, fellas.
There he is, Nathan Brown. Thanks, joining Brownie. Us, coach of the Newcastle Knights. We wish him all the best too for those last couple of games. It's been a great season for them, and as always, those interviews are thanks to Celebrations, helping you celebrate two games on Triple M this afternoon. Yes, would you like to say something, Hoops?
Yeah, just on the back of Brownie's game yesterday, we saw that little fracas, melee, whatever you want to call it, Gordy. I'm sure you would add a little chuckle to yourself on the couch.
No, because we were allowed to punch, and no wingers run in.
That's what
Les
I mean.
Davison would have had a little and chuckle. Ian Roberts might have been in the middle, and Solomon Amona, so no one run in the middle.
Well, you'll love this, Gordon. The NRL has issued 5 contrary conduct grade 1 charges to the players who are involved in it. Obviously, we know now that the rules state if you throw a punch, you'll get 10 minutes in the sin bin. So Viliami Kikau, Wunga Blake and Tyrone May from the Panthers, and Sean Kenny-Dowell and Danny Levi from the Newcastle Knights have all been fined $1,500 each.
Okay. This is Sunday Triple M NRL. It's thanks to Iveco Trucks.
Put it on the favourite.
Iveco Trucks. Go and see them, you truckies. If you need a new one, your local Iveco dealer. The special edition 888 Race Engineering inspired daily light truck. We're going to go a little off topic next. We're going to speak to our old mate Jason Stevens about his new movie, which he is the producer of. It's called Chasing Comets. It's coming up next as Triple M rocks the footy. Footy. Welcome back to it. A couple of big games this afternoon. You're going to catch them both on the Triple M NRL network. So we'll cut the show short by just an hour and or 2 hours, in fact, and get those games on for you. But if you've missed the scores so far, Broncos 38, Souths 18. Titans beat Manly 42-34. Storm 20, Parramatta 4. Knights 20, Panthers 12, Sharks 28, Cowboys 16, Dragons 20, Tigers 10. Today at 2 o'clock, Dogs, Warriors, Raiders, Roosters, and of course your semi-finals will be right across the Triple M network, right across the finals into the grand final. We'll call all those games for you. Right now, with a game to play, we've got the Storm on the 32 points and the Rabbitohs and Roosters, but Roosters have a game to play this afternoon. Dragons on 30, and then just outside the four, Panthers 30, Sharks 30, Broncos, Warriors 28, and then a 4-point gap back to West Tigers, then the Knights, Raiders on 18, Titans on 18, Seagulls on 16, 3 teams, Dogs, Eels, Cowboys, all on 14. That's the EWFW ladder. We're just trying to get hold of Jason Stevens to talk about this movie that he has produced called Chasing Comets. I had a little bit of a sneak preview look at it. Looks like a good movie if you love your rugby league. Here is the man himself, producer extraordinaire and all-around good guy, me old mate, the big Wahash, Jason Stevens. Welcome to Sunday Triple M NRL.
What's... Oh, yeah, Maroon, it's so good to... Mate, who would have thought that day we met at the intersection there at Ramsgate yeah. they would become friends like this, mate? We're both single and on the prowl.
Mate, I haven't been single for about 35 years.
Are you sure?
Steve-o, he's speechless for the first time.
Portugal's listening.
Right, you know what it was. Now, you know what it was. I was acting single because I was hoping you'd give me an atomic wedgie. That's what it was for.
Yeah. No, that's right. Sorry, it wasn't you. It was Timmy Gilbert, another lovely Lebanese man that have done well in the media.
Yeah, it was probably him, matey. We've been out on the prowl in the intersection hotel.
Hey, boys.
Good mate. Steve-o, so tell us what you retired in, what, 2005, something like that?
Yeah, that's right. It wasn't a memorable year, but thanks, Gordy. In 2006, I started screenwriting and I remember we met. And I was telling you about it. You really encouraged me to go for it, and a lot of people did. And yeah, I'm really thankful that, you know, it's 12 years later that the first film coming out. I'm excited.
What's the flick about, Steve-o, for people who are listening? Maroon was telling me before, he suggested you call it Chasing Rockets, but you went with Chasing Comets instead.
Yeah, well, it's set in Wagga because wanted to make a sports film that encompassed the rivalry and the fun that can have between the AFL and NRL, because obviously Wagga's on the border there, and you know, there's a lot of love and passion for both codes and a lot of rivalry. So Reece Muldoon, you might know from House Husbands, he plays the coach of the AFL, and Stan Walker, who's a Kiwi, is playing AFL, and that's a bit preposterous, you know. And so we have a lot of fun with the footy themes, but the driving force is a player by Chase Daylight, played by Dan Ewing, and he's making all these decisions off the field, which sabotaging his dreams to play NRL, and he finds faith, and then things go a bit worse for him, but before they get better, but it's a nice transformation story, and it's a real upbeat comedy, I've got to say. We've got some nice dramatic moments, but we really,
Okay, we're just losing you there, Steve-O. But mate, you mentioned Reece Muldoon there. You got a couple of, you know, pretty renowned Aussie actors in there too. I noticed Peter Phelps gets a run.
Peter Phelps, mate, he's a champion, and Isabel Lucas as well, and John Batchelor, who you might know from Red Dog, and yeah, we had all these great experienced actors come on set. They love their sport, they love their footy, and they love doing Aussie films and just helping out. And they really, you know, the spirit on the set was, you know, let's do this and let's just do it at any price. And, you know, we think we've got a real fun little Aussie comedy. So, yeah, we come out this week, August 23, in cinemas nationally with Hoyts, and some selected cinemas as well with events.
What did you learn about yourself over the last, six or eight months filming this, Jay?
Oh, mate, it drew a lot out of me, Gordy, to be honest with you. I really never having produced a film before, so you know, I kind of read this quote before I went in. It said, because I was looking for a producer, but the money wasn't there for anyone to do it, so I ended up doing it myself, and I'm glad I did in the end. There's a quote from Einstein. He says, "I'm glad everyone else said no, because you know, I learned to do it myself." And I think it was Einstein or Fonzie, I'm not sure. One of those.
All right, mate. So
yeah, mate. I learned, you know, the film industry is—it's like anything, Gordy. You know, like I had to pay my dues, and you know, it's been 12 years, and raising finance was, you know, obviously a challenge and stuff like that. But I'm so glad that we've got a good little product that I really hope Aussies can support, because we've got such great Aussie stories, particularly in and around sport. I told a couple of jokes from, I don't know, Gordy, if you remember Brian Smith as coach. He said this joke when he was interviewed. He said about it, they were talking about a draw because they end with a draw, and he goes, "Oh, I'm not one for draws, really. It's like watching your mother-in-law drive off a cliff in your new car." I don't know if you remember. So I really paid homage to a lot of the colourful characters. And Gordy, you remember Harry Eden?
Yeah.
The great Harry, and Peter Phelps plays his character in the film. And you know, we've just got such great Aussie stories to tell. So I really hope people support it when it comes out on the screen.
Harry Eden was a champion. I think he's an old dragon, and he used to always come to the clubhouse. And he had this big leather jacket on and this gold chain. He'd walk up and he'd go, "If I was 21, I'd knock you out and take your girlfriend."
Yeah.
That's all he'd say to me. "If I was 21, I'd knock you out and take your girlfriend."
Yeah.
And they just walk off. Thinking, who's that one?
All right.
I think he still holds the record there, H. Three tries in a game as a St. George front rower. So, you know, but no, I really appreciate it. You know, Bo Ryan does a really great job in it. And we've got so many great Aussies in it. So, you know, the only way Aussie films can get up is if people support it at the cinema. And I think if you see the trailer online, you'll have a good little laugh.
So, Jace, when does it come out to the cinemas, mate? Because we all want to go and see it. We'll keep an eye out for it.
That's very kind of you guys. It's August 23. So this Thursday night actually comes out nationally. And Maroon, I know you said you were going to wait till Tuesday because it's half price, but
well, no, I thought I'd just get a freebie off you, mate.
He wants it to come out on VHS.
I know, you know what? I think the truth is Maroon said, "I'm going to go buy a ticket to Comets and I'm going to go and see Mission Impossible, but you'll get the box office, Jace. You'll get the box office."
Good on you, Jace. Well, we'll see it at the movies, Chasing Comets.
Thanks so much, guys.
Righto, mate. Good on you. There he is, Jason Stevens, a great fella, and we wish him all the best.
Dirty bugger on the field, though.
With his career, and a great, wonderful career.
I didn't know you could be that cruel holding Bibles in your hand every time I played against Jace.
Yeah, right. Is that what he had? Where did he keep the Bible? In the?
I don't know. Well, yeah, I mean, he was very religious, Jace, until that 80 minutes of football when he's playing against you. He picked on me a bit.
He picked on you?
Yeah, I sort of let him because I liked him. If it was anybody else, we would have went toe-to-toe.
Sunday Triple M NRL is thanks to Iveco Trucks. Boys, it is time for this award-winning segment.
Triple M's NRL Tinder.
So what we do here, it's simple. I throw up the topics. The boys get to swipe right if they like it, swipe left if they don't. And let's start off with a little bit of NRL Tinder, boys. This is the first question. The NRL's plan to sanction players who stroll off after being sin-binned.
I like it. I'm swiping right.
Okay.
Swipe right, Maroon. Yeah, great idea.
It has to happen. Look, we saw last night, it was at the Cronulla game.
Oh, Ben Hunt dawdled off for the Dragons.
I can't even remember the player now. I'm sure it was the Cronulla game. He got sent off. He walked off, stopped to get a drink, walked off, dropped the water bottle, turned around to pick up the water bottle. It's just become a joke.
It's outrageous.
It's embarrassing for the game.
Just swipe right.
Okay. Andrew Fifita calling out assistant coach Jim Dimmick after he scored a try last night.
Swipe left, don't like it. They're the bosses. If you did it in any other walk of life, you'd probably be sacked on the spot.
Paul?
Left.
Okay.
Yeah, left. I thought Luke Lewis was really strong on it earlier. It's a bad look for the game.
Okay. Brisbane Broncos, after players left CEO Paul White's house to go to coach Wayne Bennett's house. You love Wayne Bennett, Gordy. Why don't you start this one off?
I don't love Wayne Bennett, and I don't hate Wayne Bennett. Wayne Bennett's Wayne Bennett to me, always has been. I think it's really poor form. One in all in. That's always been the culture of the Broncos, and I think it's a shame. So I'm going to swipe left.
Paul?
I'll go right.
Yeah?
Yeah, look, I think it's actually good that the players support the coach.
Brisbane Broncos, after players left CEO Paul White's house to go to coach Wayne Bennett's house. What about you, Hoops?
Yeah, I'll go right. I'm with Kenny. I think it's good to see the playing group sticking solid with their coach.
A lot of people think here, though, boys, the big story
Hold on. That barbecue is organised. It's been that same day for 3 years.
Hang on. You just pulled us up and said go
hold
left
on.
Or right.
Yeah, he did.
He didn't ask the question. The barbecue was for 3 years. And it's been there and it's been at Paul White's and everybody goes, the whole club. And that's from the top office. You said you got to have a strong front office. So the front office, all those ladies that sit there and do everything, all the fan mail for the players, they're all there. It's time for the players to go back and talk to those people that make them shine on
they
the weekend.
They did do that. But they did do that. And then they went over to Wayne's after.
Come on, please. Relax, boys. Right. I just stole their phones and swiped right.
Okay.
And I dropped my mic too.
All right. Reports the annual nines will be scrapped, possibly forever. The nines to be scrapped, Hoops.
I didn't even know it was back. Is it back, the nines?
No, it was going to be back this year.
Yeah. I don't have a problem if it's not back.
You're swiping left on the nines.
I loved it.
Yeah. I'm swiping. What?
Good or bad?
What's the question?
The question is, the question is, reports the NRL nines will be scrapped. So if you don't like that idea, you'd swipe
left.
Left.
Yes. I think scrap it.
What about you, Gordon?
Left. I think it's silly. I think it's just, it was a totally different vibe. It's different fans that come and watch our game, and it's some form of our game.
But we got too much.
So this is a guy that would have hated world cricket too, you know, when they come out and they wore different colours. You got to change. There's enough people watching 70-man game. Let's get nine.
Gordon,
kids love it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I loved it.
Look, in and of itself, I'm a fan of the nines as well. But then you've got the World Club Challenge. You've got the
World Club
Series.
We're bringing back kangaroo tours.
You've got the Indigenous game. We have a pre-season because every idea is a good idea, so they just keep bolting on more and more ideas. And what's going to happen with the nines? Look, you're not old enough for this. You are, Anthony. You were a veteran back then. But when we used to have the sevens...
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the sevens came in...
I played in the sevens.
Gordy would have played in the sevens.
Yeah. Yeah, because you know why? You would have been a Neville back then because that's what they did. Because the way that the sevens started out well, where you could turn up on the day and watch the best players in each team run out throughout the day. But then after a few years, teams started saying, look, why are we running out our good players and getting them all fatigued? And you got the stop-start nature of it means they get... that they were susceptible to hamstring injuries and things like that when they're warming down, cooling off. then trying to warm up again. So what they started to do is they started to send their B graders along. And that's what the Nines is going
to
become.
Gordy looks like he's about to swipe you right out the window.
No, because some people aren't good enough to play sevens. So you get some people that are in the top 13, like Glenn Lazarus. I know he's the biggest name. Or Alan Langer. They're probably not suited to sevens like a Steve Ranoff or a Berrigan or a Johnny Plath or players later. Or like Ricky Short mightn't have been suited to sevens, even though he's like the Australian halfback. He might.
But you don't want to go up and see anonymous players that you don't know. But particularly in the modern game where we don't get to watch, if you're a team, if you support a club, you don't get to watch them come through the grades back like you used to be. Obviously, you knew who your team was coming through. Look, seriously, come on now.
And Gordon, you said we had to say swipe left or right and then move on. And it.
He's just swiped a pen left in your
head. He just threw
a
pen at me. It's got my glasses.
Well, lucky you had them on. Lucky you had those big safety goggles on.
Mate.
Go to OPSM. Actually, oh, my God. You can weld with those.
You could have lost an eye there if you didn't have those things.
Oh, God. I thought it was Ned Kelly in here today. Big welding goggles.
You are out of control. Okay. Final one. Paul Gallen playing on for another year. Left or right? Right, you like it. Left, you don't like
right.
it.
Right.
What about you, Gordon?
Good on you.
Right.
Would you like to elaborate? I'm just kidding.
Right.
Good on you. There you go, boys. That's NRL Tinder. This is Sunday Triple M NRL. 20 minutes till kickoff of our first game. Dan's going to call it for you today. Warriors Dogs as Triple M rocks the footy. We're back with more after this.
Triple M footy.
Welcome back to it. It's Sunday Triple M NRL thanks to Iveco Trucks. And, of course, we've got Gordon Tallis. We've got Paul Kent. We've got the great James Triceps Hooper. We've got Maroon. And it's time for another award-winning segment, which I see on social media is being copied right around the world. It's this.
From the makers of The Earth is Flat and I'm Only Having One Beer comes I Call Bullshit.
Now, just in the course of all this, Mark Geyer, our great Mark Geyer, who was a lovely friend of ours and a mayor of Penrith, he has gone out. And kind of, well, I'm calling bullshit on him a little bit because he has gone out and taken this segment away and used it on his own. Have a listen to this.
Going forward, the bosses of our game, Todd and Peter, if I can call you Todd and Peter, must implement something in our game that makes sure we never see such a coaching interrupted season again. I've had enough. Let me off the merry-go-round, the carousel, whatever you want to call it. I'm dizzy. It's coaches we're talking. These aren't even blokes playing the game where they're dominating headlines and after headline. It's bullshit.
So he's taken our concept and he hasn't consulted any of us. So, MG, we love you, brother, but there'll be some correspondence with our legal team sometime in the course of the week. Now,
you try to invoice.
Bullshit.
Pardon?
Don't you try to invoice.
It's nothing to do with money.
Will, don't worry, you don't miss with the cash.
This is not about me. This is about you guys and your intellectual property. Now, this is a segment called I Call Bullshit. This is where the boys can raise any topic they like and say, I've had it up to here. I call bullshit on this. And here's where we're starting today. I call bullshit when you go into a car park anywhere in Sydney and you see someone get in their car. And you think, oh, well, I'll just wait till they get out and I'll take their spot. And they see that you're waiting. And what are they doing in there? They take forever to back out. Just start your car and back out.
Bullshit.
Why? What is taking so long for you to reverse the car out?
Jeez, you live in a petty world.
Oh, my God. This is nearly as good as the fly in the car.
I know it's a first world problem. I know it's a first world problem. But, you know, that's why I'm calling bullshit on that. else have you got one for us, Gordon?
Yeah, I call bullshit.
Whenever you're ready, mate, no hurry.
I call bullshit on when you go wine tasting. I've been wine tasting a couple of times, right? But I went wine tasting over the weekend and you taste this wine, right?
Yeah, I know.
Seriously.
And you taste wine.
And I'm sitting there and they bring out obviously eight or so different wines and they explain the wine and they pour just a little bit, I'd say, you know. I know, 10, 15 mil.
It's a thimble.
Yeah, 30 mil at most in your glass.
Yes.
So you drink it.
Good.
And then you spit it out. Why would you spit it out?
So you don't get drunk.
Hey?
So you don't get drunk.
Well, why would you drink wine
then?
How
are you supposed to taste it?
So you buy a wine, the drink, you spit it out, and you bite and take it. I'm going, geez, I like that. I'm going to drink that bottle.
No, because
but you spit the one that you don't like.
because it saves
so to test it, you spit it out.
For idiots like you, right, it saves you money because you sit there and you swallow everyone, and after you've had about, you've sampled about 25 different wines, you start saying, yeah, I'll buy that and I'll buy that. You came in here whinging today about your missus buying 2 grand's worth of wine. That's because you swallowed. Hey, you're an idiot.
What about you, Hoops? Have you got an I call bullshit?
Yeah, I have got an I call bullshit, Maroon, and not for the first time. I'm going to call bullshit on you.
Oh,
first of all, right? First of all, you've in predictable fashion, you've stuck solid to your script, which is bag people when they're not around to defend themselves. So you've just carved up the great Mark Geyer, right?
Yeah.
So for starters, don't speak ill of the mayor of Penrith. Then secondly, you've given it to our producer, Zach Bailey.
Yeah, eyebrows.
The other week. Again, poor, you know, unable to defend himself, yet you've just grabbed the one wood out of the kit bag and teed off as hard as you can.
Eyebrows.
Oh, something about his eyebrows.
So why are they talking about Zach's eyebrows, feeding him? You want to see the eyebrows on this bloke. On a hot day, the volunteer fire brigade are on standby because if they go up.
I tell you, John Ibrahim suddenly become interested in. You see the paper today.
Yeah, with the eyebrows.
That's ridiculous.
Once again, you've carved someone up when they're defenceless.
Mate, what's his
eye? They're not around to be able to stand up for themselves.
Look, for anyone who hasn't seen Zach Bailey from NRL.com,
they're good.
You know how big Mal Meninga's eyebrows are? Times them by two.
Yeah.
That's how big his eyebrows are.
Oh, shit!
And they're thick, too.
They are.
You know, I call bullshit on this Cronulla saga.
Hang on, you've had one.
That's all right. He's allowed to have another.
Is he? I call bullshit on him having two.
Bullshit.
Who put numbers? Who said numbers?
It's a segment.
Well, this
Cronulla coaching thing, right? Fifita was that angry, right? So it's not all rosy out there. They can gloss over it. And when I was watching the thing, he's gone up and told a player, and a player's face looked Jimmy. He's laughing with Jimmy. But him and the coach were having a Mexican standoff. If he's told one bloke
Jim Dimmick.
If I'm Jim Dimmick and Junkyard's a tough kid and someone did that to me, I wouldn't like that either. Because it's basically telling you to do that on national television, that's no respect. Oh, mate, it's just fun and games. No, that's nothing. You don't do that to me. Yeah. So if I'm in the coach's box and you do that to me, I don't like it at all. So I call bullshit on them trying to cover it up, and it's not like Cronulla trying to cover up anything, is it?
Yeah, I agree with Gordon on that because you saw after the game, Rob Willis, the media guy from the Sharks, went over and grabbed Fifita and had a chat to him, and you saw the other vision of Flanagan and Gallen having a bit of a look. We don't know what they were talking about, but they had a bit of a chat after the game as well, out there still on the field. There certainly was indications that the club was already in damage mode and trying to handle the situation. That's, you know, if I'm going to have a contribution to this segment, which is absolute Belton Maroon, one of your best, but
is this you or I call bullshit?
Yeah, it's just the way we try to. We've totally lost our way, the way we manage things these days, and the way the NRL, the clubs, and the players by default, because the clubs are driving it, try to just I suppose shape the conversation with all this vague language and vague statements, and yeah, they say something without really saying anything, and we've just totally lost the way. We've become a bureaucracy. It's just rubbish.
Well, the thing with Fifita is as well, Kenty, that, you know, it's not his first rodeo. Like, we've seen time and again, he's made bad decisions and, you know, he flies off the handle. That's part of who he is. But I agree. I don't think it was a good look for the club or for the game. That I understand, look, if he wants to get fired up at half time and one of the coaches has had a go at him, well, great. But just go out and let your actions... do the talking on the field. Don't worry about the salutes
just man up. Like, I had problems with Brian Smith, right?
Yeah.
And then Wayne Bennett as him coaching me, never had a problem with. What I do is the issues that come up now, and I'm in the media and I'm paid for my opinion, I'm actually over talking about him. I wish they could take his name out and say Joe Blow did this, and then I talk about it, and it's not Gordon Tallis up against Wayne Bennett, and they look at the issue or the actions that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But what happens is someone's got to stand up and say, yeah, look, mate, it is. And they don't see eye to eye, but they got a working relationship.
Yeah.
Okay, he didn't like what was said.
Yep.
He reacted wrong. Too bad. We're grown men. We're going to talk about it.
Story.
And Andrew's going to go get some work to make sure it doesn't happen again. That would be what I'd say, a man up and a club that you go, okay, well, at least they're doing something. Because I was sitting with a heap of people last night watching it, you know, and we're all in the Hunter Valley and we're watching this footy and it's not a great look. And people go, God, what is he doing? God, he looked like a wild animal. This lady sitting goes...
Were you still spitting wine out?
No.
No. Swallowed it.
No. And then, like, then this lady sitting there goes, he looked like a wild animal. So this is who we're trying to sell the game to. So how do we get her to take her grandkids there? When people like that are actually thinking it.
Okay, that's what I call bullshit. Now, fellas, just quickly, the dog side for today, number 20, Matt Frawley comes in. Jeremy Marshall King moves to the bench. The bench now looks like this. Marshall King, Fualalo, Ofahiki Ogden, and Greg Eastwood. And the Warriors are 1-17. That's all thanks to Mongrel Boots.
I just got a message from the boss. The poll that we're having... the poll was online, so you couldn't see it and interrupt with it, Anthony.
Yes,
Gordon. There was over 700 people.
Right.
Email in, and it was 95% that you got to go to the pub and get dressed.
At Port Macquarie.
You know, mate. You know what I'm talking about. And the dialysis, we got so many blokes that are going to drive up there and their wives are so happy to hang around.
JA said we're going to take care of Ayrsie. Ayrsie and the dialysis machine are going to be fine. They can either come along or we'll have someone 24-7 care with Ayrsie to make sure 24/7. He's under control.
A lot of nurses have volunteered their services, so Ayrsie's more than well catered for.
Well, I'll go home and discuss this with Ayrsie and we'll see if we can't come to some sort of...
No, Ayrsie's looked after, mate. You've got to discuss it with yourself.
I will discuss. I have discussed it with myself.
With yourself in the mirror.
But unfortunately, Gordon, it's sad as it is, we've run out of time. Until next week. We've got a couple of games coming up for you today. Triple M, wherever you're listening, stay listening if you love your rugby league. A doubleheader of the world's greatest game. Warriors take on the Doggies next, and then that'll be followed by the Roosters-Raiders game. The Roosters win that one. They go out the front on their very own on the EWFW ladder. Gordon, you'll be here for the call. Have a great call, mate.
Thank you very much, Anthony.
And Paul, we'll see you tomorrow night on NRL 360.
Thanks, Anthony.
And, of course, Hoops, you are on every show on Fox League, so we'll see you on one of the many shows you're on.
Thanks, Anthony.
Okay.
Thanks, Anthony.
That's it for us. We're going to hand you over to Dan and the call team coming up next for Ream, Australia's favourite. It's Triple M Rocks the Footy.